This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 16th of January 2026. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper, with the extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 16th of January 2026. Your readers today are Jane Harding.
Hello.
Heather Thorpe-Tracy.
Hello.
And Noel Thorpe-Tracy.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Steve Russell. The main headlines this week are: 1. The partner pulls out of the Silver Hill scheme. Residents urged to have their say on development. And popular watercress festival is set to return. So may we now have the stories behind the first headline, please, Heather.
Partner pulls out of Silver Hill scheme. Council leader says major development is still on track, writes Christopher Atkinson. The future of the Silver Hill project has been hit by the withdrawal of one of the developers. Generate Kahima Regeneration, JKRLA, part of the consortium which was working on the £100 million-plus pound scheme, has said it has made the decision not to continue its involvement. This leaves the City Council and the other developer, Igloo Regeneration, 6 months in which to find a new partner. But Council leader Martin Todd has said it should not derail the scheme, which is estimated to be worth more than £100 million and envisages shops, offices and homes between Friarsgate and the Broadway. Councillor Todd said, "People shouldn't be concerned at all. This doesn't affect the timing of the scheme. If anything, it will speed it up. We have a paper going to Cabinet that explains the background change that sits behind it. But we're really confident in the scheme. All the things that really matter to people that we've been talking about, the choice of the design team, the scope of the project, the design principles behind the project, remain exactly the same. We still have a partner that's capable of delivering the scheme, and we are excited that we can crack on." Councillor Todd said he understood that GKRL's departure was nothing to do with the Silver Hill scheme itself. Winchester City Council's Cabinet will receive an update on the scheme on Wednesday, January the 21st. The update paper says, "The DA allows for a change in consortium composition and specifically reserves the right of approval for any change to the council. A limited liability partnership requires two entities within it, and the exit of GKRL means that PFP in Igloo have to find another entity to substitute into the LLP within 6 months of exit. As part of their board approval, PFP Igloo have agreed to ensure that a suitable entity is placed into the LLP, which the council will have to approve. Recommendation 1 delegates that final approval to the strategic director with responsibility for CWR. Recommendation 1 delegates final approval of the strategic director with responsibility for CWR, Central Winchester Regeneration, and the director legal. Andrew Ludeman, director of GKRL, a partnership between Manchester-based Generate Developments and Japanese corporation Kahima, said, "Generate Kahima Regeneration Limited, JKRL, has made the decision not to continue its involvement in the Central Winchester Regeneration, CWR, project. This is an outstanding scheme with a clear vision that reflects the aspirations of the local community, and we are proud to have contributed to its early stages alongside the council and Igloo. We have every confidence in the team and look forward to seeing the positive impact this project will bring to Winchester." GKRL declined to comment further to the Chronicle when asked the reason why it was leaving the project. However, the City Council's pay update paper says that PFP Igloo Board have assured the Council in writing that subject to the Council's acceptance of the proposed consortium change and associated impacts, they have secured necessary funding and approval from their board to take on 100% of the project funding and risk. Matt Woolgar, Development Director at Igloo Regeneration, said, "We're very pleased to be progressing the delivery of the Central Winchester Regeneration in partnership with Winchester City Council. This ambitious scheme will transform the city centre, creating a thriving and inclusive quarter, and we will be embedding Igloo's ethos of supporting people, place and planet into every aspect of the development." A WCC spokesperson said, "Central Winchester Regeneration is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to transform the centre of our historic city via a comprehensive regeneration scheme. The Central Winchester Regeneration has been in the works since 2016.
Residents urged to have their say on development. Excuse me. The time for residents to have their say on a 1,000-home development near Winchester is drawing to an end. Popham Airfield has been facing an uncertain future since plans to build a 4,250-home garden village on the site near Overton was proposed by Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council in 2024. The plans also include two primary schools, a primary village centre, a secondary school and secondary village centre, as well as a solar farm and designated space for employment uses. The 8-week public consultation period, where residents are urged to share their views on the proposals, will end on January the 23rd. Anne Bartleby, spokesperson for Popham Airfield Matters, said, "I go across the country and help out small airfields. Every airfield lost is a body blow, and Popham is under a great deal of threat, especially because of where it's based. There is nothing with the same range of services for a long way. Residents love going to the airfield. It's a community facility, and no other airfield in the area can support a large gathering like Popham. Aviation is changing, and a lot of places haven't got that, which is why it's so important. It is commercially used and gets around 60,000 movements a year, but the council seem to see it as an easy option." Cabinet Member for Strategic Planning and Infrastructure from BDBC, Councillor Andy Konieczko, said, "We are about halfway through our 8-week consultation on our draft local plan, which will guide the borough's future development, including how we meet the government-imposed higher housing target for our area. I'd like to thank those people who have taken the time to respond so far and encourage those who haven't yet to do so. This feedback is really important and we are listening. The consultation will close on Friday 23rd of January, and after that we will carefully consider all the responses submitted to help shape the next draft of the local plan, which we are aiming to consult on again later this year. Popham Airfield is a top contributor to the UK aviation industry and top 5 general aviation airfields in the UK. Over the years, it has hosted numerous events and festivals, as well as educational visits, as well as running a popular cafe open to the public."
And popular Watercress Festival is set to return. Watercress fans are in for a fresh treat as the popular festival is returning with new attractions and all the much-loved fun. The Alsford Watercress Festival will take place on Sunday, May the 17th, marking the start of the UK watercress season and celebrating all things green and leafy. The 22nd edition of this event promises to deliver the classic attractions that visitors know and love, along with a few new additions to keep things fresh. At the heart of the festival is a renewed focus on watercress itself. Tom Amory, Managing Director of the Watercress Company, said, "We have been involved with the festival from day one and regard it as a vital way to educate the public about this incredible superfood. We ran a handful of tours last year, but they proved so popular, we decided to dedicate staff to them for the whole day, so hundreds more people can get a better understanding of how watercress is grown. The Watercress Company will open Manor Farm for tours throughout the day, complete with live entertainment and the chance to park on site for £15. This fee includes a tour, entertainment and a shuttle bus to the festival in Alresford. All proceeds will be donated to charity. Manor Farm parking tickets can be pre-booked through the festival website. In other changes, the Cookery Theatre sees a new host. Natasha Dotniak of Hampshire Fair will take over from Davina Tibbetts, promising fresh energy and expert insight into Hampshire's food scene. Ms. Dotniak will welcome local chefs and artisans for live demonstrations with plenty of creative inspiration for cooking with watercress. The World Watercress Eating Championships will also move to a new time, starting at 1 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. This change is designed to give more visitors the chance to take part and still enjoy the rest of the day. Festival manager Claire May said, "Plans are well underway to make our 22nd festival the best yet. The organisers and all our amazing volunteers can't wait to welcome everyone back to Alresford for another day of mayhem and wonderful watercress. It's a fantastic day out for the whole family, and we hope to see you there." The festival remains free to attend, but parking charges apply. East Street parking, just 200 metres from the entrance, will be available for £5. A park and ride service will also operate from Ropley on the Watercress line. And this is accompanied by two delightful photos. One of a crowd sitting, obviously watching an event on chairs all mounted and lifting up a glass or a bottle of drink. No alcohol, I noticed, but very cheerful about it all. And below is Glenn Walsh, who won the watercress eating competition last year and has a vast a mop of watercress crawling and leaping out of his mouth.
Well, that concludes the headlines. And now we continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, Chronicle comment, First Person and Belgarum, and then letter from Westminster. So now I'll start the death notices. David Henry Frederick Bartlett sadly passed away at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 16th of December, aged 89. Bernard William Bodger, aged 101 and 10 months. Loving husband of Margaret, dear Uncle B, to his many nieces and nephews and their families, a friend to many. Burroughs, Robert Allen, known as Bob, passed away at home 24th of December, 25, after a short illness with his beloved wife at his side. Fletcher, Reg Fletcher, at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 20th of December, age 86. Kerr, Anne Isabel Nayshore, wife of Dr. Ian Kerr, died peacefully at Abbots Barton Care Home on the 11th of January this year. Meek, Phyllis Jean Meek, passed away peacefully at Winchester Hospice on the 25th of December, aged 78. Merrickin, Jeanette, passed away peacefully at West Holme Care Home, Winchester on the 22nd of December, aged 89 years. Stainer, Colleen Stainer, formerly of South Wanston Farm, passed away peacefully at home, 12th of December, aged 80. Starr, Gregory Arthur Starr, passed away at Southampton General Hospital on the 30th of December, aged 79. Waterer, Suzanne Rosemary, on 26th of December last year, after a recent unexpected illness. Watson, Mary Elizabeth Betty Watson, passed away peacefully at West Holme Nursing Home on 20th of December, aged 96. That concludes the death notices for this week. We now carry on with Christian comment.
Moira Redmond writes about religious art that speaks across centuries. Last Sunday was the feast of the baptism of our Lord. According to the Gospel of Matthew, John the Baptist is at first reluctant to perform the sacrament on the adult Jesus, saying that he, John, is not worthy, but Jesus insists. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It's a memorable moment, the beginning of his ministry. In the National Gallery in London, there is a beautiful picture of this event by Piero della Francesca, painted in the middle of the 15th century, and it's one that gives you everything it represents. I'd urge you to Google it, if you can, and just stare at it. It is elongated and quite pale, and it's full of things to look at. At the centre is Jesus, with the dove representing the Holy Spirit above him, and John, young and lithe, not as he's usually portrayed, at the moment of pouring the water. Art critics have many things to say about pictures, and they'll talk about the angels, the kings, and the trees in this picture, and what they signify. As George Orwell says, nothing can be proved, but no one ever says anything other than that it is a remarkable masterpiece of the Renaissance art, and Piero della Francesca is one of the greatest painters. Not as famous as other artists, perhaps, because many of his works were painted on church walls, which means they can only be seen by visiting the area around San Sepolcro, forgive my pronunciation, where he lived in Tuscany in Italy. He is accepted as one of the all-time greats, an early master of perspective. His pictures are serious, gentle, and full of humanity. And his depiction of the resurrection is, of course, famous. It's in a community building in the centre of San Sepolcro, a place that has become part of the fighting at the end of World War II. And there's a story about that. One of the British officers remembered reading that there was an incredible work of art in the centre of the town, a painting he'd never seen, not even a copy. But he ordered the troops not to bombard San Sepolcro. So the picture and the town and many lives were saved. Another form of resurrection, to be able to get through the war. When you look at his pictures, many with religious subjects, you could never doubt that Della Francesca had a great faith as well as a great talent. He must have wanted to share that with people in his own time, but could never have suspected that 500 years later, his painting could have such an unexpected effect. I find that looking at his pictures brings me great peace and reassurance and a feeling of spiritual calm and of faith.
And now we go on to letters to the editor.
Yes, Roger Stevens writes a letter celebrating Brexit's success. Of course, he writes Chronicle, January the 8th, it's quite right about Brexit. Let's just get over it. How right we were to rely on the popular press for advice on this matter and to ignore the gloomsters and doomsters in the Financial Times and the Lake. Experts, pah! We have heard enough of them and them. So let's celebrate the success that the architects of Brexit have achieved. The tax rent revenue from the City of London has fallen by £40 billion per year. Before Brexit, there were no there were no boatloads of migrants landing on the Kent coast. Here are two clear Brexit wins. And look at the way prices have risen. On the other hand, the City of London does not seem to have lost its status yet as a major world financial centre, nor has the divided Ireland issue restarted the troubles there. Still, we can all celebrate the delicious slap in the face for those smarty pants who plan to retire to France or Spain. Do you know, some of these scabs out there even learned how to speak foreign. It's Margate for them now, not Marbella. Ho, ho! Talking about language, our politicians are no longer humiliated at EU conferences, where all those foreigners seem to be fluent in three or four European languages, while our lot had to stand in silence, feeling 2 inches tall. Inches, please, not centimetres. Until someone spoke to them in English, a language they all spoke perfectly. How right we were to cast off the EU yoke. A mere glance at the map will reveal that our strategic interests lie with America, not Europe. And they speak English there, too, sort of. Not like those foreigners on the other side of the English Channel. According to the claptrap from Remainers, Brexit has left us poorer, weaker and divided. That's rubbish. As the Honourable 51st State of America, Global Britain, bestrides the world like a colossus, thanks to our special relationship with the Americans, our firm and constant friends. By Roger Stevens, Cliffway, Compton, Winchester.
And Jerry Adamson writes, New Parish laughable. Is New Parish a laughable matter? Last November, the Winchester City Council has started gathering views of residents on a possible creation of a new parish council for unparished areas of a town, as an existing city council is expected to cease to exist in 2028 due to upcoming local government reorganisation. Moreover, a group of people from the town forum is also considering absorption of already established parish councils from surrounding areas by a new parish council with a central Winchester dominance. However, these existing parish councils are reluctant to be incorporated into a new bureaucratic body with a main power in central Winchester. For example, the Badger Farm Parish Council is alarming its residents that one of the options proposed is to absorb Badger Farm into central Winchester and for you to lose your independent parish council. Similarly, the Littleton and Hairstock Parish Council is refusing to support the intention to split our current parish by taking Hairstock into Winchester. Along with a clumsy attempt to absorb independent parishes, a team from the Town Forum is also reluctant to communicate its suggestion unequivocally. As a result, some residents are holding impression that there will be several parish councils created, for instance, one for Highcliffe, another for Stanmore, a separate for Winnall, etc. No, this suggestion does not imply that. A team behind this suggestion is dreaming to create a one parish council for all unparished areas of a town. One. If the initiators of this suggestion had wanted to establish parishes for several estates, they won't have bothered to convince already existing parish councils from surrounding areas to become a part of a new council for central Winchester. Moreover, creation of either these several parishes or a single parish council for a town will bring difficulties in proving that one of the main aims of local government reorganisation will be achieved. As this aim is to remove extra layers of bureaucracy in the form of a city council, any body created instead will become a laughable illustration of how to replace an existing two-tier system with a new two-tier system for unparished areas of Winchester. And that was from Jerry Adamson, Firmanston Road, Winnall, Winchester.
John Pittman writes, use the funds to restore the bus route. I understand that Hampshire County Council are about to receive a new £52 million grant subsidy to help improve the local bus services within the county. So could I request that Winchester MP Danny Chambers and Eastleigh MP Liz Jarvis, along with community county councillors, try to secure some of this new subsidy to restore the now defunct stagecoach bus route number 61. This bus service was withdrawn back in the summer of 2025, which has meant that there is now no direct bus route between the neighbouring towns of Winchester and Eastleigh. The loss of this bus, number 61, has created hardship for many senior citizens who could rely on this bus service, as it gave them a direct link to attend the Royal Hampshire County Hospital for appointments, etc., as well as be able to visit and shop in either of the towns. If our MPs could restore this number 61 bus route with a regular timetable and one which the residents could rely on, then I feel this service would be used by many more people and with a good service would be viable to operate. I therefore ask our MPs to once again please think of their constituents and do the utmost to reintroduce the number 61 buses and then let voters know that they were well worth voting for, writes John Pittman of Tory Close, Allbrook, Eastleigh.
And this is from Dave Stott, who is Director of Volunteering, Royal Voluntary Service, about volunteering. Many people want to give back to their communities, but sometimes finding the time to volunteer can be a real challenge. It's not always easy to commit to a traditional volunteering shift at a specific time or on a regular basis. Balancing giving back with work, family and other responsibilities can be difficult. That's why, thanks to the support from players of the People's Postcode Lottery, Royal Voluntary Service has launched Govo, a free platform created to make it easier for people to discover volunteering opportunities in their local area, or remote, suited to their interests, availability and the causes they care about. Alongside the more traditional and regular volunteering roles, people may also be familiar with Govo offers flexible, one-off, remote and more unexpected opportunities with location-dependent roles. These include dog walking for people with a terminal illness, DJing at discos for people living with dementia, knitting baby clothes for families in need, and providing exam support for young people with visual impairments. Time can be priceless, and volunteering your time can be even more so, not just for the causes and the people it supports, but for you as a volunteer too. Volunteering can have a powerful impact on your own well-being, improving mental health, building confidence, developing new skills, and creating a sense of purpose and connection with others in your community. So, to anyone who would like to give volunteering a go, even if you feel short on time, I would encourage you to explore what's available at govo.org or to visit your local volunteer centre. There's so much out there, and you may be surprised by just how easy it is to make a difference. That's from Dave Stott, Director of Volunteering, Royal Voluntary Service.
And our regular contributor, Simon Lever, writes, Popham Houses. Yet another proposed plan to build thousands of houses in Hampshire, two within the Winchester area. The newly proposed plan will essentially destroy a much-loved venue that serves the local and wider community, Popham Airport. I am under a strong impression that the decision to develop Popham Airport into essentially a large village has been already decided, and public consultations offering feedback and listening place are potentially irrelevant. The idea being to sell the proposed plans during public engagements. Sadly, central government calls the shots, so residents' concerns will be potentially ignored. And that's from Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
The Reverend Chris Pettit writes about fireworks disturbance. I'm sure I won't be the only reader to write and complain about the disturbance caused in the centre of Winchester and elsewhere by the fireworks, not late on New Year's Eve or even in the hour following midnight, but in the early hours of New Year's Day. I live by the Cathedral Close, and was woken by the explosions, as I could actually hear the whoosh as the rockets went up. I'm fairly sure they were actually ignited in the close. I'm pretty certain that they can't have been ordinary fireworks, judging by the huge explosions were military weapons of some sort, more suited to Salisbury Plain. It seems that any bylaws there are about the time of igniting fireworks are totally ignored. My fairly confident spaniel was frightened and shivering through the night, The selfishness of those responsible must be stopped. One would hope that our MP, particularly as a vet, concerned for the welfare of animals, will be able to find a parliamentary way of acting against this wretched and reckless behaviour which plagues us throughout early November and the new year, as well as miscellaneous times of the year. Cus petit, the Reverend Market Street, Winchester.
And Jenny Waddington writes, "All I want to do is book a swim." And this is below a picture of the swimming centre, the leisure centre's 50-metre swimming pool. "Just how hard can it be to have a swim in the Winchester Leisure Centre? As novel as this may seem, I opted to, on foot, book a swim session for two adults. The time was 6:55 p.m, only to be informed by the receptionist that they had logged off. I lost count of the number of times I was asked if I had the app. Just sometimes it would be truly amazing to talk to a human being. Alas, I returned the following morning to be told that unless both of us are registered, I could not simply buy two swimming tickets. Once again I was asked if I had the app. Short of pulling out my hair, I declined once again with a solid no. How on earth, in this day and age of wanting to keep fit, I simply do not understand how it can be so difficult to buy two swimming tickets. The irony of the situation is that my friend from London can join an aquavit class, but being local, I inevitably find the sessions are all booked. Totally bizarre. All I want to do is to have a swim." Jenny Waddington, Barin Road, Winchester.
M. Sherwood writes, "Trail hunt cover. I refer to your article on trail hunting, Hampshire Chronicle, December the 26th. There is evidence that in some places, trail hunting is used as a cover for illegal fox hunting. Fox hunting is incredibly cruel. The RSPCA says the same, and has no place in this still great country of ours, which prides itself on being a nation of animal lovers." And that was from M. Sherwood, Wrights Close, South Wanston.
Now, Joanna Elson, CBE, an independent age chief executive, writes about winter help. "Winter can be an incredibly difficult time of year for older people living on low incomes in the South. The cost of living is still extremely high, and budgets are being stretched across the region. This winter, the Independent Age Helpline has received thousands of calls from distressed older people in financial hardship. Our advisers have heard dreadful accounts of people not washing in to reduce Our advisers have heard dreadful accounts of people not washing to reduce water costs, visiting public places to stay warm, and limiting themselves to just one small meal a day. It is not right that so many people are being forced to choose between heating and eating, with many now cutting back on both. There is support available for older people living on low incomes in the form of pension credit, an income top-up provided by the United Kingdom government that, on average, is worth over £4,000 a year. Worryingly, this entitlement has a low take-up rate. Latest figures show that the South East is the region with the lowest take-up. Only 56% of eligible older people are receiving pension credit, meaning 120,000 households are missing out on life-changing money that they are entitled to. Pension credit is not just an income top-up. It also acts as a gateway to other benefits. Free TV licences for over 75s, free NHS prescriptions, council tax support, housing benefit, free eye tests, and much more. So if you are aged 66 or over and are worried about your finances, you might be entitled to pension credit. Check your eligibility by using the pension credit calculator on the government website, or by calling 0800 991234. The telephone number to call about checking your pension credit is 0800 991234. 1234. If you need extra support or want more information, call the free Independent Age Helpline on 0800 319 6789. That's 0800 319 6789. Joanna Elson, CBE, Independent Age Chief Executive.
And Rupert Gaster writes, River Park is an embarrassment. Having recently moved back into central Winchester, the eyesore that is River Park Leisure Centre should be a source of embarrassment to the City Council. Now badly damaged from vandalism and heavily graffitied, this is encouraging a learned behaviour that it is acceptable to permit this antisocial behaviour. What fate awaits the River Park Pavilion when it's unveiled? More of the same, I suggest. I cannot fathom how a new leisure centre can have been commissioned and built, opening in 2021, and yet no cogent plan exists for the site at River Park, despite earlier setbacks. Watching this building slowly rot away is a complete disgrace. Rupert Gaster, Worthy Road, Winchester.
That concludes letters to the editor. We now go on to Chronicle comment.
And this week it is still time to have a say on local plan. Last week in this column, we spoke about the need for development to be done correctly with proper thought given to infrastructure to ensure that it does not burden existing Hampshire residents. This was relating to the proposal for houses on Popham Airfield, which has been earmarked for thousands of houses by Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council, which is desperately trying to meet its government-set housing quota. We ran a front-page story, which followed up from various stories we have run on these proposals dating back to 2024, when the airfield first emerged publicly as Popham Garden Village in the Basingstoke and Dean local plan consultation. A consultation was held last week and is still continuing. One reader wrote in to correct last week's editorial, which gave the impression that development was inevitable. We would just like to reiterate, people can still have their say on this proposal. The consultation is open until January the 23rd. We'd like to impress on our readers that now is the time to engage. Is development inequitable? Well, perhaps change is inevitable, but perhaps all is not lost for Popham Airfield. People Power recently persuaded Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council to backtrack on plans for a golf course at Down Grange. It had hoped to turn a green park loved and used by several sports clubs into a golf course. However, residents campaigned against it, citing safety concerns and a need to keep their green space. This campaign started right at the very moment of conception of these plans, held by an exceptionally passionate councillor. Has this moment passed for Popham? And is development inevitable? Well, time will tell. We very much hope that Popham Airfield users are victorious in their campaign to keep the airfield operation and to fend off the threat of development, but it's going to take a lot of work. Don't miss out on the chance to have your say. Once it's gone, it's gone.
And now we continue with first person. Heather, please.
Kimberly Barber writes, my resolution for New Year, and there's a nice photo of a smiling Kimberly with the Hampshire Chronicle. January always arrives with a curious mix of optimism and exhaustion. The decorations are packed away, the quality street tin is finally empty, and suddenly we're staring down a fresh calendar full of possibilities. Here in Winchester, 2026 promises to be a year worth looking forward to, not just because of the events, developments and community moments on the horizon, but because many of us have taken a deep breath and set resolutions to make it a better one. Whether we whisper them to ourselves or proudly declare them to the world, New Year resolutions have a funny way of testing us. And if you're already feeling guilty, take comfort. One recent report suggested most people have abandoned theirs by day nine. Day nine! That's barely enough to finish the leftover cheese. My own resolutions were simple enough. Eat healthier, move more, and watch less TV. Manageable, I thought. Sensible, even. But as ever, life had other plans. Or rather, gravity did. After a rather exuberant spin at the roller disco at Fareham Leisure Centre last weekend, I executed what can only be described as a crash landing. Not graceful, not athletic, and certainly not conducive to moving more. So for now, let's say one of my resolutions is on temporary medical hold. Still, the spirit of January is about more than self-improvement. It's about setting a tone for the year ahead, and Winchester has plenty to be excited about. As a city, we are fortunate. Our theatres, community groups, heritage sites, independent businesses and civic projects give us a sense of momentum that many areas long for. There will be new initiatives, festivals, so many festivals, arts programmes and critic discussions, civic discussions shaping our shared life in 2026. Whatever challenges the year brings, Winchester has always thrived when people join in, show up and support each other. And I expect nothing less this year. But if we're serious about looking ahead, there's an issue increasingly hard to ignore. Screens. Everywhere. On buses, in cafes, at dinner tables, in bedrooms. And most worryingly, in the hands of very young children. Over Christmas, I noticed just how pervasive it has become. Toddlers with tablets. Primary school children scrolling through TikTok. Teens glued to devices, even in the middle of conversations. It's not an exaggeration to say it feels like an addiction for many. And before we sigh and say, kids these days, we should perhaps glance in the mirror. Adults are hardly doing better. Many of us reach for phones the moment we wake up, watch TV with a second screen in hand, scroll through social media we claim to dislike, and check emails long after work should have ended. If young people are growing up unable to switch off, perhaps it's because we've stopped showing them how. That's why my watch less TV resolution wasn't really about television at all. It was about reclaiming time. Time for books or newspapers. Time for conversations. Time for hobbies and communities. Time for fresh air and creativity. Time to simply be present. Winchester, with its green spaces, walking routes, cultural venues and community spirit, gives us every opportunity to step away from our screens. Whether we actually take them is a real challenge. I took a nice stroll up St. Catherine's Hill at the start of the year, with the kids counting each new step in the restored stairs. We're lucky to be on the edge of the South Downs too. We've also explored the new well-being walk trails at the Forest of Beer. There are so many issues, opportunities right now on our doorsteps. So, as we head into the year, I hope we can all, myself included, resist the pull of the glowing rectangles that swallow so much of our attention. Let's model better habits, not just preach them. Let's give children and young people the gift of seeing adults who are curious, active, social and engaged with the world around them. There's a lot to look forward to in Winchester this year. Let's make sure we're not too busy scrolling to notice it.
And now Noel, please can we have Belgaren?
Yes, an alternative look at the news. Two items. The first is Panto Boost for Charity. And there's a picture of the Crawley pantomime, the Crawley players, all dressed in their pantomime costumes, which are sort of westernised Snow White. I'm not quite sure how that works, but anyway. A pantomime has raised thousands for charity after its western take on Snow White sold out. The Crawley players group, who performed the show, managed to lasso in the crowd with a country twist pantomime's Snow White, a musical performance. The group had four sell-out shows between December the 5th and December the 7th, raising a total of £6,000 through a combination of their ticket sales and the Tree of Prizes raffle. The group donated £5,000 to Naomi House and Jack's Place hospices, with the remaining £1,000 going to Crawley Village Hall. Helen Dolling, charity fundraising coordinator, said, "It's no secret that charities are under financial pressure, and we are delighted to be able to support such an important local charity, while also further raising awareness of their essential work." The show was written, produced and co-directed by Crawley residents Jeremy Bennett and Tiggy Bradshaw. In addition to this, they were supported by sponsors such as Wainwright's Chemist in Bishopstoke, and dozens of local businesses in Winchester and Stockbridge, who lent a helping hand to fill the village hall with laughter and magic, thrilling all ages. And the other item is market removal amid the gloom. Complete contrast. If ever there was a photographic illustration of this gloomy time of year, it's this, the clearance of the Christmas market in the Cathedral Close. And the photo that I'm talking about was taken on a misty grey Wednesday morning, showing most of the chalets in the process of being removed, while most neatly stacked in piles awaiting collection. Many people will welcome the return of the Inner Close to its sedate calm, unchanged in centuries. So enjoy it while it lasts, until the chalets return in October and November. And yes, there's a nice photograph, a bit grey because it looks misty, but it's of the Cathedral Close, without all those chalets and market things.
Now, Jane, may we please have the letter from Westminster?
And the letter from Westminster this week is from Danny Chambers, of course, our Lib Dem MP. 2026 is just getting started, and already we're dealing with new challenges, both in our local communities, online, and on the world stage. As mental health spokesperson, I'm launching a campaign to take on the threat from unregulated AI chatbots. I asked the Health Secretary on the risks posed by chatbots to young people. The response was frankly alarming. His department admitted that they had made no assessment of the number of unregulated chatbots providing mental health advice to children, nor have they committed to reviewing this. Telling children and vulnerable people to just, be careful with unregulated, misleading and potentially dangerous new technology is simply not good enough. This is why I will be continuing to push the government for stronger regulation on chatbots and AI tools. We've also seen the atrocious behaviour of Elon Musk's Grok AI repeatedly generating abusive images, and he's shown little concern or interest in fixing this major problem. I think it's long past the time we all stop using this social media platform, and I urge the government and Ofcom to take serious action. Alongside a cross-party group of MPs, I visited British NATO forces stationed in Estonia close to the Russian border, keeping watch throughout the winter months. The Russia-Ukrainian war continues and tensions are building around the world. After his operation in Venezuela, an emboldened Trump has been making new threats over Greenland. It has become increasingly important that we work with our allies to prevent escalation and bring these threats and wars to an end. In Parliament, I spoke in a debate about the ongoing Ukraine war and highlighted to the government the terrible plight of over 20,000 Ukrainian children abducted by Russia during their invasion. For this act alone, Putin should be hauled in front of the International Criminal Court. Small businesses are under threat right now. Not only are they facing rising costs for goods and services alongside energy and rent, but now they're facing the prospect of even more tax rises. Not only are they having to pay higher national insurance contributions, but now changes to business rates could bring extra costs to even more small businesses. Even well-managed and popular hospitality businesses like pubs and restaurants, of which there are many across Hampshire, are at risk of having to close down. I spoke recently with Matt, who had been successfully running the Wanston Arms pub for 11 years. It's a proper community hub with amazing atmosphere. But this government's decision to place the tax burden on so many small businesses was the wrong choice and puts his business in the firing line. They need to change course quickly before we see thousands more pub closures across the country. It is absolutely urgent for ministers to provide clarity to pubs, hospitality and high street businesses, with rumours circulating that the government may be planning to reduce rises to business rates. That's why I'm really proud of the Liberal Democrats' calls for a cut to VAT for hospitality. That would be small businesses. That would help small businesses keep operating and keep prices down for customers. We want to see our community thriving and our economy growing, and this is just one measure that would really help to achieve that. If there is anything I can help you with, please get in touch at danny.chambers.mp@parliament.uk.
And now, Heather, I believe you have a history article for us.
I do, and it's about Brockenhurst. There are reproductions of postcards accompanying it. There's one of a cyclist in a completely deserted road facing a huge water splash and looking a bit doubtful about it. I wouldn't risk it myself. And there's a beautiful little bridge over the river in Brockenhurst, with trees, of course, growing on the banks. And another one of a footpath, wide footpath, edged by old, mature native trees. And there's another one which shows people. There's a footpath and then a bank going down to a wider sort of road. And on the road is a horse, and he's pulling a gentleman in a flat cap sitting on his cart. And on the footpath beside, there's a pedestrian and two cyclists, obviously pausing for a nice friendly chat with each other as they go about their business. A long-established town. It has a long history. Well, it's a village. What am I saying? It's a village with a long history stretching back 4,000 years. Brockenhurst in the New Forest has served as the main hunting base for the Norman and Angevin kings throughout the Middle Ages. The name derives from the Old English Brockhurst, Badgerwood, or from Brookhurst, Water Meadowwood. It's mentioned twice in the Domesday Book with the names Rochelle and Rochlanda, which mean the broken open woods. The story goes back much further than that, long before the naming of Middle English or Old English, into the ritual geography of the Bronze Age. The surrounding heathland is a forest of prehistoric burial mounds, and intriguingly, the pair of tumuli near Talbarn Lane is a rarity in England and seems to indicate that the area was a place of high status 4 millennia ago. Nowhere is there a greater sense of continuity than at St. Nicholas Church, the only New Forest church to be named in the Domesday Survey. And it sits on an artificial mound which may have supported a pagan temple overlooked by the church's legendary yew tree, which is now in its 11th century, according to carbon dating. The village served as the main hunting base for the Norman Angevin kings. Throughout the Middle Ages, the local lord of the manor held the land by knight service of sergeanty to provide litter for the king's bed and fodder for his horse whenever the monarch was to hunt in the forest area. The contemporary shape of the village owes much to development in the 18th century, when the Morant family came to Brockenhurst. Using their fortunes from sugar plantations in Jamaica, Edwin Morant purchased the manor in 1770 and reshaped the landscape according to the fashionable, picturesque styles that had swept the country. Consequently, he removed several of the existing houses to open up his views and induced the shift in the balance of the village from around the church towards the north, producing the gap we see today between High Street and church that was accentuated by the later arrival of the railway in 1847. The railway was nicknamed Castleman's Corkscrew, according to its curves through the forest. Brockenhurst's rail connection has helped to create a global health hub in the early 20th century. The village had become a hospital clearings area in the First World War and established a reputation in its own right as a hospital village. First, the Lady Harding Hospital treated almost 30,000 Indian troops. Then the village became centre of operations for the number one New Zealand General Hospital, known as Tin Town, a vast site of corrugated iron huts. Local children spent their days collecting antiseptic sphagnum moss from the forest for surgeons to make their own dressings.
Now, information on lighting up time. Lighting up time ends today, February the 16th, at 7:30 a.m. and begins at 17:06. On Wednesday the 21st, January, it ends at 07:19 and begins at 17:14. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Now we continue with further items of general news.
New proposals to tackle the pavement parking issue. The leader of Hampshire County Council has announced new proposals to tackle pavement parking. Councillor Nick Adams-King, Conservative, said the new proposals would protect vulnerable residents, keeping pavements clear and prevent verge damage. The proposals would allow local transport authorities to prohibit pavement parking across their areas rather than dealing with it street by street. In a post on Facebook, Councillor Adams-King said, "Pavement parking is one of the issues I hear about regularly, and for good reason. When cars block pavements, it isn't just inconvenient, it can be dangerous and deeply unfair to people who rely on clear, safe routes, wheelchair users, those with sight loss, older residents and parents with buggies and prams. It also damages our verges and leaves some communities looking uncared for." The government has now confirmed that new legislation is on the way to give councils like Hampshire County Council far greater control over pavement parking. "It's something I've long argued for, and I welcome the change." Under the new proposals, 1. Local transport authorities will be able to prohibit pavement parking across their areas rather than dealing with it street by street. 2. A new regulatory framework will allow councils to tailor solutions to local needs, including accessibility and disabled parking. From 2026, councils will also be able to enforce against unnecessary obstruction of pavements as an interim step, giving us more ability to act where parking is clearly causing problems. "I'll be working with colleagues to make sure Hampshire uses these powers sensibly, fairly, and in a way that genuinely improves everyday life for our communities."
Women's group raises record-breaking amount. A Winchester women's group raised a record amount during their annual Christmas tabletop sales. Hyde WI, a women's group with around 30 members that meet once a month, recently raised £1,156 between two of their Christmas sales at St Morris's Covert and St Bart's Christmas Market in December. The ladies sold a variety of handmade goods, ranging from jams, marmalades, chutneys and craft items, all of which were made by the members. They also offered a selection of bric-a-brac, which provided popular with shoppers. A member of the group, Doreen Tye, 62, of Winchester, said, "I've been a member for 3 years and my favourite part is being with the ladies. We range from late 40s to 90. It's wonderful. The girls have got so much life experience and have always been really welcoming. When I moved to Winchester, I joined the WI and it's a great way of getting to know people. I love the fact of walking into town knowing people. It's a great group. There were lots of people at the Christmas markets and sales. Winchester is buzzing at that time of the year and people are very generous. Also, people love homemade stuff. The jams and chutneys for sale were made by members of the WI using produce from their allotment in Park Road. Knitted donations like blankets and gloves were also given to the group by the group to sell. The next High WI meeting will be held on Monday, January the 26th at Cote Brasserie in Winchester."
And here we have Fears new welfare bill will be bad for animals. A bill backed by Winchester's MP has been criticised over concerns that it could penalise those trying to rescue pets. The Animal Welfare Bill, which was introduced by Danny Chambers MP, Liberal Democrats, bans the import of puppies and kittens under 6 months old, heavily pregnant animals, and pets with mutilations such as docked tails or cropped ears. The bill passed its final stages in the House of Lords in November and has been welcomed by several animal welfare organisations. However, concerns have been raised that the bill could target those who have rescued pets from abusive conditions abroad. Peter Bartholomew, 71, said that the bill stops him from bringing his dog, Rizos, who has a cropped tail, to the UK to meet his family in Southampton, despite the fact that Rizos' tail was cropped prior to Mr. Bartholomew owning him. A former project manager who now lives in Costa Blanca in Spain, Mr. Bartholomew, said, "My dog is a very lovely dog. I wanted a specific breed, a wire-haired fox terrier. Living in Spain, you don't get those dogs at all. I finally found one on a website. It was 5.5 hours away from me in Malaga. I filled out all the paperwork to get it and proved that I would be a suitable owner. His tail was docked, they still do that over here, but now I have this lovely dog who is full of character and wouldn't harm anyone. I'm concerned that people who do the same thing as me will be impacted. People want to protect these dogs and take them back to the UK, and with Dr. Chambers' bill, people will no longer be able to do that. People will not be able to save these dogs and take them back home." Mr. Bartholomew said that the bill is well intentioned, but is a broad brush. He's setting up a government petition to have the bill tweaked to not impact on people who are attempting to save mutilated animals. Dr. Chambers said, "The vast majority of people in the UK looking to purchase a pet from abroad have animal welfare as a top priority and want to rescue animals from terrible abuse. Unfortunately, due to booming demand and horrific mutilations such as ear cropping or declawing, many animals were being subjected to the unnecessary and dangerous surgeries purely for aesthetic reasons. During my time as a vet, I saw many owners who simply had no idea that their pet had been smuggled or, in the worst cases, deliberately mutilated. A four-paws study found that nearly a third of online classified adverts selling dogs were attempted to trade in illegally imported puppies. Almost half of all puppies being sold on Gumtree were illegally imported into the UK, and buyers often having no idea. It is a sad situation that people who genuinely care about animals and want to rescue an abused dog or cat are being exploited by abusive breeders for profit." And there's a photograph of Danny Chambers with other photos of sad-looking puppies who've been smuggled in, including a lovely photo of the one that was referred to, Rizos, who looks very cheerful.
A year of culture, food and festivities. Winchester is set for an exciting year in 2026, with a packed calendar of events celebrating everything from literature and sustainability to music and traditional English culture. Whether you're a local or planning a visit, here are some unmissable highlights to add to your diary. The Winchester Book Festival. Celebrating Winchester's literary heritage, April the 17th to April the 19th. There will be author talks, book signings and creative workshops. And the guests include Hannah Bourne Taylor, author of Fledgling, as well as a host of other acclaimed writers. Winchester Mayfest in May the 16th. Step back in time with this vibrant celebration of English folk traditions, Morris dancing, a colourful custom dating back over 500 years, takes centre stage, accompanied by live music and family-friendly entertainment throughout the city. On May the 7th is the Alsford Watercress Festival. Bustling street markets, delicious local produce and a dedicated kids zone. And the proceeds support local community projects. Also at Alsford, they are going to have the Flying Scotsman visiting this spring. The historic steam locomotive was originally built in Doncaster for the London and North Eastern Railway, and it worked from about 40 years before it was retired. It's going to appear in Hampshire from March the 10th to the 21st, and tickets are now on sale, but it is expensive. They started around 60 pence pounds per person. Having been retired after 40 years service in 1963, it was restored to working order when it over a 10-year project, and it was bought by the National Railway Museum in 2004. So we'll be able to visit it on the Watercress line and actually go on it as well. But advance booking is essential. The recreation ground on May the 17th has got charity runs to raise funds for cancer research. Two routes, 3 kilometres and 5 kilometres, and they start at 11 a.m. Winchester Foodies Festival is in July 17th to 19th, also at the recreation ground. A feast for the senses, sample gourmet dishes, sip artisan drinks and enjoy Boyzone Live on July the 18th. Early bird tickets, £21 for adult and £8 for child, and you can book online. Wickham's Festival, July the 30th to August the 2nd, is a music festival, an eclectic lineup, family-friendly atmosphere. Again, it is expensive. Okay, it's if you want to camp, of course, it's even more. But so it won't be expensive unless you're going to go and camp. Winchester Green Week from the 19th to 27th focuses on sustainable living, with workshops, talks and community projects designed to help you live greener. So it's good if you're feeling eco-conscious. The Bonfire, of course, on November the 7th, a spectacular evening of fireworks, music and food stalls. And as we all know, it's a very noisy night. Christmas Lantern Parade in December. End the year on a magical note with this enchanting parade. Bring your own lantern and join the festive procession through the historic streets. And this is a free thing. Winchester in 226 promises something for everyone, from cultural celebrations and foodie delights to family fun and festive magic. So make sure, mark these dates, experience the best of what this historic city has to offer.
And former pizza place to be dentists. Work has begun to transform a pizza express into a dental surgery. Workers have been seen going into the former restaurant on Bridge Street, and construction can be heard. The windows of the building have also been whitewashed. This comes after an application was submitted by Align Orthodontic Group to change the use of the Grade 2 listed building into a dentist, which gained approval in September. As previously reported, the building falls within the Winchester Conservation Area, which currently covers the entire city centre. The application said The proposal is for a change of use to an existing building with minor amendments to the building. As the building is Grade 2 listed and it's joined to Grade 2 and Grade 1 buildings, and monuments care has been taken to alter as little as possible. It's not known when the work will be completed.
And here we have helping the homeless to make a fresh start. People experiencing homelessness in Winchester are being given a fresh start. Building maintenance services provider Cardo has partnered with the Winchester Beacon to create a series of moving on boxes designed to support individuals as they leave the beacon and transition into new accommodation. The boxes are filled with essential household items to help people settle into new accommodation after leaving the Beacon. Nancy Judge, Senior Communications and PR Officer for the Winchester Beacon, said, "From our first meeting, Cardo made it clear that they wanted to support the Winchester Beacon in a way that will make a real difference to the lives of our residents. The boxes have far exceeded what we imagined. They have been thoughtfully put together and will really help to give our residents a strong start to their next step away from homelessness. Several of our residents have already received the boxes and commented on how helpful it has been to have all the essentials ready and available from the day they move to their new home. Thank you to everyone at Cardo for your support and belief in our residents." The partnership began as part of Cardo's Social Value Programme. Fen Walker, branch manager at Cardo, said, "Together with the Beacon, we chose items that would offer dignity, comfort and support to taking the next step into their own home. As well as providing practical essentials, we included a message of care and encouragement on a card to show the residents that they were thought about and valued and to wish them well in their new home. Cardo is committed to making a positive difference to residents' lives via a whole host of community schemes. Moving on boxes is just one example of our work." And there is a couple of lovely photos of the boxes being moved into the Beacon, large boxes filled with crockery, towels and toiletries for the people who are moving on to their own homes.
Cathedral begins bones reinterment. Winchester Cathedral has been reinterring the bones of medieval bishops and royals after a decade of work. The Cathedral's Mortuary Chests Project, which began in 2012, is one of the longest research initiatives at the Cathedral in recent years. It's involved many specialist academics, conservators, staff and volunteers. With reinterment comes after Winchester Cathedral applied to the Cathedral's Fabric Commission for permission to carry it out in July 2025. The boxes contained the bones of Anglo-Saxon kings, including ancestors of King Alfred, and the Danes, such as Canute. And the remains had been jumbled up during the Civil War by troops loyal to Oliver Cromwell. They ransacked the cathedral, smashing stained glass windows and scattering all the bones. Now the cathedral is hoping to reinter the remains in their rightful places, reuniting the bones of each person as far as possible. The arrangement of individuals into chests has been based first on their radiocarbon dates. Individuals dating from a similar period will be interred together in the same chest. The history of the mortuary chests predates the chests themselves, with the human remains contained within traced to be between the 7th and 12th centuries. Many of the remains are believed to have been originally buried in the Anglo-Saxon Old Minster, which stood on the site adjacent to the present cathedral. The remains have been traditionally ascribed to early medieval royals and bishops. The names given in Latin on the sides of the 6 existing chests are Cungils, Cunwulf, Egbert, Athelwulf, Edred, Edmund, Knut, William Rufus, Bishop Wine, Bishop Alwine, and Queen Emma, but it's believed that the remains of other early medieval individuals are not listed, but are also contained within the chests. The project's findings on the likely individuals interred in the chests are expected later this year. Winchester Cathedral curator Eleanor Swire says, "This project demonstrates the combined power of science, the study of human remains and historical research to discover new information about the six mortuary chests and their occupants, which would not have been available to us a generation ago."
600-year-old cottage could be demolished. Controversial plans to tear down a 600-year-old cottage might be back on the table after the owners appealed to the Secretary of State. Simon Smith, the owner of a house in Swanmore known as Hiawatha, has appealed to overturn a decision by Winchester City Council to refuse planning permission to demolish the cottage and build two modern houses in its place. The appeal was issued on January the 5th and will be decided on the basis of written representations. A WCC spokesperson said, "We have received a notice of appeal from the planning inspectorates regarding our decision to refuse planning permission for two new dwellings built on residential land after the proposed demolition of Hiawatha House in Swanmore. This appeal will be determined via written responses, and we are required to submit our response by February the 9th. As previously reported, development at Hiawatha has been controversial since it was first proposed. The Save Hiawatha, Stop the Development campaign was started by the eldest grandson of former house owners, Eric and Peggy Abbott. Daniel James Abbott's online petition managed to raise 1,085 signatures. The campaign said that when Eric Abbott, 94, sold his home, he was reassured that it would go to a family that would treasure it as if they had. Eric, with wife Peggy and four generations, have lived and raised their family in Hiawatha. Hundreds of objections were submitted by members of the public when the development was first proposed, with objectors saying that the existing house should be retained on account of its aesthetic, historic interest, along with concerns over inadequate services and infrastructure, over development and how it would interact with the Swanmore Village Design Statement. WCC decided to refuse the original application in the Planning Committee in August. The reasons for refusal were that the size, scale, design and external finish would fail to maintain the character, appearance, built features or variety of the local environment. The committee added the development would also not adequately conserve the identity of Swanmore, as it would be visually intrusive and out of scale in character with its setting and surroundings. The committee also said that the development failed to protect or enhance biodiversity.
And Turtle Bay's Free Breakfasts. A Caribbean-style restaurant chain in Winchester is offering free breakfasts during January. Turtle Bay restaurants, including the Winchester branch, are offering the free breakfast dishes as part of a giveaway designed to reward early risers and bring a little Caribbean sunshine to January. Every day until Friday, January the 30th, every eligible Turtle Bay restaurant will be giving out free breakfast dishes to the first 10 customers that arrive at the chain as part of the initiative. The breakfast service begins at 10 a.m. and the guests simply need to purchase a drink to enjoy their complimentary breakfast. Whether it's a full Caribbean breakfast or a folded breakfast roti, Turtle Bay says every dish is designed to ease you into the day. A spokesperson for Turtle Bay said, "January can be tough, but Turtle Bay is helping locals beat the winter blues and bringing joy to January by giving away free breakfast every day throughout the month. The giveaway is designed to reward early risers and to bring a little Caribbean sunshine to the most challenging month of the year. Whether you're catching up with friends, taking an hour to reset, or fancy a change of scenery for your morning meeting, Turtle Bay is a warm, welcoming space for every kind of morning."
2,500 plus call-outs for air ambulance. And there's a brightly coloured helicopter, I think, pictured in the sky with its things up above it whirring away. The county's air ambulance responded to more than 2,500 emergencies in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance recorded 2,593 call-outs in 2025, marking its busiest year to date and the fourth consecutive annual rise in demand. The service brings hospital-level care directly to patients at the scene, delivering critical treatment in situations such as cardiac arrests, assaults, and incidents of self-harm. A patient who directly benefited from the air ambulance in 2025 has spoken about her experience and the impact of the service. Holly Trelure, aged 47, was walking with her husband on Chilcombe Down in March 2025 when she suffered a serious injury. She said, "It's crazy. I do a lot of yoga. I'm very fit. I even practice standing on one foot while I'm brushing my teeth. And just one wrong step can undo all that and give you real damage. It all just changed in the blink of an eye." She broke her tibia, fibula, and ankle joint during the incident. Due to the severity of her injuries and the remote location, the air ambulance team gave specialist medication and flew her to University Hospital Southampton for emergency surgery. And Holly said, "I'm just so grateful to the air ambulance, not only for the speed of their arrival, but for their care, humour and constant reassurance, and their amazing aftercare support. I cannot fault them in any way. It's just the sort of service you don't realise you need until you do. And then when you do, my God, you'll be glad that they are there."
Midwifery students delivering success. Midwifery students have been recognised at an end-of-year celebration. The University of Winchester hosted the event to mark the achievements of first and second year students and welcome the next cohort joining in January. The evening at the West Down Centre began with an introduction from Dr. Kate Nash, the university's lead midwife for education, and a keynote speech by Liz McLeod, head of midwifery for Winchester and Andover at Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. Dr. Nash said the University of Winchester midwifery team were delighted with the success of the event and the opportunity to recognise and showcase the excellent work and academic achievements of our learners. "It was great to see so many of their family members present and to welcome our new midwifery cohort due to commence in January 2026. First year student of the year, Beth Harris, and midwifery podcast producer Kate Davis shared reflections on their year, and Laura Elson delivered a poem titled My Sparkling Moment. The evening also included a panel discussion on the future of midwifery, chaired by senior lecturer in midwifery Vicky Pragnell. They discussed a range of issues, including innovation, challenges and aspirations in midwifery. Following the discussion, students received recognition through certificates of achievement known as Positive Petals and special peer-nominated awards. And there are a couple of photographs, one photograph of 10 of the young women all standing together, looking very pleased with themselves, and another smaller photograph of their lecturers, which is very nice.
We have visitors can check in for a greener stopover. A hotel has achieved Green Key certification in recognition of its environmental commitment. Voco Winchester Hotel and Spa received the honour for its efforts in environmental sustainability and responsible tourism. Managed by the Foundation for Environmental Education, FEE or FEE, the Green Key Award is held by more than 4,000 establishments across more than 60 countries and is recognised by FEE's institutional partners, including the World Tourism Organisation and the UN Environment Programme. Joe Davidovitz, hotel manager of Voco Winchester Hotel and Spa, said,
We're delighted to have been accredited with the Green Key for the first time. We believe in not just providing exceptional service to our guests, but also in doing so in a way that minimises our impact on the environment. To achieve the certification, the hotel introduced a wide range of environmental initiatives through its dedication of Green Team. These include the addition of an electric vehicle charging point, LED lighting with timers and dimmer switches, a concierge screen to reduce printing, and centralised air conditioning controls that activate only when rooms are occupied. The Green Key certification signals to guests that the hotel is committed to reducing the environmental impact of their stay. The designation follows a £2 million refurbishment and rebranding to Voco Winchester Hotel and Spa last year, and is accompanied by a photograph of a very enthusiastic team holding their new credit that they have received and looking very pleased with themselves.
Military history and covert mission talks. Military history, secret missions, and cutting-edge technology are set to take centre stage in a new series of public talks. The Army Flying Museum in Middle Wallop has launched its spring speaker programme, featuring a lineup of daytime and evening talks exploring First World War escapes, modern aviation, and covert operations. The museum's popular speaker series was developed in 2025 to include a monthly daytime talk programme, and it's continued to go from strength to strength. January's talks will feature military historian and battlefield guide Mike Peters and former RAF fast jet pilot and author Mandy Hickson. February's highlight will be a talk by Dr. Tony Insull on the life of Captain Gilbert Insull, the only person to have won both a Victoria Cross and successfully escaped from a German prisoner of war camp during the First World War. The season also includes a talk from Mike Roberts of Leonardo on Proteus, a ground-taken autonomous military aviation programme. The series will conclude with SAS Seeking Down, a dramatic account of Special Forces operations during the Falklands War by Mark Aston. And in a special collaboration, the museum will work with veteran voices to tell the story of the Iranian embassy siege.
Ex-police officer finds meaning in his new role. A career change is helping Hampshire man put his skills to use in a job that gives back. Phil Golding, 55, now works as a community payback supervisor with the probational service and is urging others in Hampshire to consider similar roles as part of a new government campaign. The Ministry of Justice's Extraordinary Job campaign aims to raise awareness of careers in probation, including community payback roles. The campaign launches this month and will include TV adverts to reach job seekers. Mr. Golding, who previously worked for 13 years in the police and was a retail manager of a garden centre, I'd been in my old job for years, but I wanted something more meaningful. In this role, you can see the difference you make every single day. He continued, the skills and qualities listed felt instantly familiar. I realised I could draw on my background in retail. Leading teams is something I've always enjoyed. I've managed groups of up to 40 people from diverse backgrounds and personalities. Those leadership and communication skills are exactly what this role needs. He also credits his police experience for giving him useful insight into the justice system and finds the work highly rewarding. He said, for me, the human side of the job, forming positive relationships, guiding people, and seeing them make progress is incredibly rewarding. Community payback supervisors work with offenders sentenced to unpaid work by the courts, helping them make amends to the communities they have harmed while gaining valuable skills. The roles offer starting salaries of £25,000. The new MOJ polling shows that more than one in three, 39%, adults in England and Wales plan to change jobs in the next 12 months, with 70% of those seeking a role that makes small differences in people's lives that add up to a positive change in the community. Positions are available across Hampshire, Oxfordshire and Berkshire. The probation service is seeking applicants with strong communication skills, emotional resilience and a genuine passion for helping others.
And finally, a Ukrainian music concert. A concert of Ukrainian music is coming to Winchester to help celebrate Valentine's Day. The Ukrainian Valentine's concert will be at the United Church in Jewelry Street on Sunday, February the 15th at 6 p.m. It will feature a mixture of classical music, jazz and traditional Ukrainian dance with a romantic Valentine's theme.
And that concludes the extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors for selecting the extracts this week and to the copying and memory stick preparation teams. And thanks to our readers. Heather Thorpe-Tracy.
Goodbye.
Noel Thorpe-Tracy.
Goodbye.
Jane Harding.
Goodbye.
And from me, Steve Russell, goodbye and do have an enjoyable week. When you have finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.